Today's shiur is Masechta Gittin Daf Yud Gimel, and we will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, 13 lines from the bottom. In the Mishnah, we had a machloikus, Rameya and the Chachamim, how to view a eved being freed from his owner. Is it considered a zchus, or is it considered a chayv? As we learned in our Mishnah, and then of course continued learning in the Gemaras, the nafkamina would be if somebody asked somebody to deliver a shtar shichur to his eved. Does it mean that the moment he picks up the shtar shichur, the person picking up the shtar shichur is zoichen it, takes ownership in it on behalf of the eved, that the eved takes ownership with the concept that we've discussed, zochen la adam shloi b'fonav, or we cannot apply that concept? Says the Gemara Tanya Amar Rav Elazar Amana L'Rameya. Why do you feel that somebody could retract? Because as soon as he gives the shtar to his eved, it doesn't mean that he gives the shtar to somebody on behalf of his eved. It's not zchus, but certainly, asks the Gemara, zchus hu levid. Isn't it a tremendous privilege for an Eved, that he's going to be free? And as Rashi points out, that he will be able to marry a regular Jewish woman, because once an Eved is free, the halacha is that he's considered a full-fledged Jew. So why would you not consider that a schus? Rashi also points out that the reason Elazar called Rameyer, because he was a colleague of his, and that's why they were on a first-name basis. Amar Naloi. So we said Rav Meir, Amalana, Rav Meir said to us, Chayv Aloi. He's really a Chayv. It's not a Schus. Because Shim Hoya Eved Kayin, because if till now he was the Eved of a Kayin, he would be allowed to eat Truma. But the moment he gets freed, Paislam a Truma, he may no longer eat Truma. Amar Naloi. So we responded, as we've been learning, that the owner has the prerogative not to support his Eved, Rishoy. So what are we saying, that the Eved loses the privilege to eat the Truma, and that's why it should consider a Chayiv? He doesn't have to support him anyway. And Tosfos explains the dialogue that's taking place here between Rameya and Rabbi Elazar. The Tosfos explains that the Rabbi Elazar, the Chachamim, thought that what Rameya meant was that Truma is considered a privilege, because Truma is something that the owner, the Kohen, has plenty of, and it's not expensive. So therefore, the Eved, by being an Eved to a Kohen, has the privilege that I'll have plenty of mezainis, because his owner has all this truma to supply him. To which the Gemara says that that's not true, because the owner doesn't have to give him anything. Another pshat that I saw is that the owner is anxious to give the eved truma, because there's a mitzvah not to let the truma go to waste. And therefore, Chachamim thought Rameya meant, of course the owner is going to be generous with his truma, because the Eved is allowed to eat truma. And since the Eved is allowed to eat truma, the owner is anxious to give him this truma, so he should have someone to eat it up. To which the Gemara responded that that may be a good consideration, but it's not necessary that an owner is going to want to give an Eved truma. And since it's not necessary that the owner is going to want to give the Eved Truma any food, as we've been learning, so why do you consider that a privilege? To which Amalanu, to which Ramey responded, if an Eved ran away, Beishas Kanchamar, the wife ran away, they could eat Truma. And therefore, that is a tremendous privilege. And as we just learned, especially since it's plentiful, and especially because it's cheap. But when you'll be freed, he won't be able to eat. So Tosfos asks a question. why should an Eved who runs away be allowed to eat Truma? Why shouldn't we be concerned that while he was running away, the owner sold him, and once he sold to Yisrael, obviously, he may not eat Truma? So Tosfos answers, it's unlikely that somebody's going to buy an Eved. It's unlikely that somebody's going to buy an Eved that ran away. Another pshat that the Tosfos Rosh suggests, an owner is unlikely to sell an Eved that ran away, especially in the world that they lived in, where if the Eved ran away and the owner sold him, the Eved would have no way of knowing that that's what happened. And then the Eved thinks that he still belongs to a Kohen. And he'll think that he's allowed to eat Truma, but really he's not to. He's not allowed to. So the owners were careful not to sell Avodim unless they know that it was sold. Moreover, the Achronim point out that why should an Eved be concerned that he was sold? Don't we always say in Halacha that we follow the Chazaka? And this person has a Chazaka, this Eved has a Chazaka that is a Kohen. And until anything disturbs that Chazaka, he could rely that he's still an Eved. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in the Kibbutz Ha'aretz says a beautiful teretz, says a beautiful explanation. He says, when do we rely on a Chazaka? We rely on a Chazaka on the person who's eating Truma because he himself is entitled to eating Truma. The Eved that we're speaking about in our shir, or any Eved that we speak about, is not allowed to eat Truma because of himself. He's only entitled to eat Truma because he belongs to the owner. Such an individual, unless he's certain that he still belongs to a Kohen, is not allowed to eat Truma. And that's why Tosfos asked the question, so if so, how could Eved eat Truma? To which Tosfos responded, which the answer is the various answers that we give. Furthermore, Rav Aaron Leib Shtemitz on Sefer Yel Shachar says that why is an Eved that ran away entitled to eat Truma? Maybe if he ran away, that should cause that he should lose the privilege to eat Truma. Says Rav Steinman in the Sefer Yel Shachar, a person who's an Eved is an individual who has a halachic status. His halachic status is that he's allowed to eat Truma. The fact that he did something inappropriate doesn't change that halachic status. Avil says the Gemara, that even though we're having this debate, Ramei and the Chachamim are having this debate, is it a schus or a choiv for Eved to be freed, isha choivullah. But everybody agrees that for a woman to get divorced, it's considered a choiv. She came past him in a truma because she no longer eats truma, umafsidim and a mezainis, and she loses the mezainis. Says the Gemara, my kamalei, my kamahadalei. What is the dialogue? Says the Gemara, hach kamalei. This is what Ramea says to Chachamim. The fact that an owner doesn't have to support the Eved, his shiftan el mezainis, because the owner doesn't have to support him, then the Eved has nothing to lose by being freed. Because even when he's working, he's not necessarily going to be supported. But the question was, Mati Shiveni ala Truma, what are you going to answer about the Truma that as long as he's an Eved, he can eat Truma, and now he's losing that privilege. V'chi tama, and if you'll answer that it's not considered a choiv, because if the owner wanted to disqualify his Eved from eating Truma, he always has the ability to do so. Because Zarek Legitay, the owner could throw him a get, and we don't have to have the Eved's consent to get freed. And all you have to do is throw the get within the Shtar Shichur, within Dalar Amis of the Eved, he'll be free, he'll be pasalei. Yeah, and he won't be able to eat Truma. So the owner has the ability, says the Gemara, that he should to disqualify the Eved from eating the Truma anyway. So you're saying that the fact that he could eat continuing Truma makes a chayv. You'll say that he could disqualify him easy because he could throw the get at him. Shavaklei, but says the Gemara, that isn't something to take into consideration, because Shavaklei, Vazark, Vazalama, the Eved could always run away. And if he run away, the the owner would not be able to throw the get at him. Because my il eved kain shabarach, because he continues to say, if an eved of a kain runs away, veshis kain shamara the bala, or wife of a kain runs away, taloi oichlin betruma, they're still entitled to truma, even though they ran away. The zoo, and this one, zoo, and now, by giving them the sketch star shichur, eda oichl, he won't be able to eat. So Tosfos asked the question. The Gemara says, Rameis, in his dialogue, said, the fact is that she could always throw the get, shtar shichur, at him. But the reality is, he didn't give him a shtar shichur. And if he didn't give him a shtar shichur, he could eat truma. And now by somebody picking up the shtar shichur on his behalf, he's doing something detrimental to him. So Tosfos answers that the point is, if I always have the ability to throw a get at him and disqualify him from eating the truma, that's enough of a reason, says Tosfos, that it should not be considered terrible when somebody else is picking up the shtar shichur on his behalf, because he isn't really doing anything that I couldn't have done myself. So ask the Mashal, if that's the way to understand the Gemara, so why do we have to go into various explanations why a get is considered a chayv for a woman, or not a chayv? Why don't we say the same? Since the husband always has the ability in those days to divorce his wife without her consent, shouldn't that be enough of a reason that it should be considered a schuf? A schuf, that it should be considered that it's not a chayv. So the Mashal answers that you have to recognize, he says, that there's a fundamental difference between an eved going free and a woman getting divorced. A woman getting divorced, says the Mashal, is a bad thing. Getting divorced is certainly not something that's great. Yes, we could come up with reasons, maybe it should work, but it shouldn't work. But the fundamental fact is that getting divorced is a chayv. And since the fundamental fact of getting divorced is a chayv, that's why somebody can't be zoiche and a get for a woman. But when we speak about a eved, the reality is on the contrary. Getting divorced, getting freed is a good thing. Yes, there's one bad thing involved in getting freed, that he won't be able to eat truma. But in general, it's a positive. Since in general it's a positive, that's what the Gemara is saying. What are you saying, truma? For truma, the owner could always throw to get at him. But the Gemara says, that's not true, because they can run away, and then the owner cannot forcibly give them the get, not forcibly give them the shtar shichur, but they will still be allowed to, they will still eat truma. So says the Gemara, Shapa Kamala, isn't Rameya defending his position, asked the Gemara very well. Amar Rava, says Rava, because of this question, this is what we found in the Mishnah that they told Rameya, that he's considered the property of the owner. What does that mean? The boy, because if the owner wants at any time, Shokel Abba Zuzim Yisrael, he could just take a few dollars from any Yisrael, or possibly, and the Eved now will become the Eved of Yisrael, and since the Eved will now become the Eved of Yisrael, then possibly Kolech Disa. So it's not something that the Eved says, I want to hold on to. The owner always could sell him. So Rishash asks, is it possible to sell something that you don't have control over? So Rishash answers that you can't consider this something I don't have control over. He says, if anything, that it's considered very much that I have control over. Because why do we see that the Eved is so anxious to remain with the owner? So the fact he's in fact upset that he should be freed or sold. That doesn't mean that I don't have control over it. Another teretz that he suggests is that we know throughout Shas that Eved servants are compared to Karka. And the halacha by Karka is that wherever Karka is, or wherever control it is, if it's mine, it's mine. And therefore, Eved, even if he ran away, it's still considered under my control. Rav Aaron Leib in the Yelz HaShachar gives a different teretz. He says that when I try, if I own something and it was taken away from me, so it's not considered under my control, and I don't know when I'll get it back or how I'll get it back. But an eved can always come back on his own. That's not considered something that I have permanently lost. And therefore, the saying that I want to hold on to Truma is not a reason that the eved should not be able to sell. Ula Meya asked the Gemara a much more fundamental question. Ramey is saying that the eved wants to stay by his owner, so he should be able to continue eating Truma. So asked the Gemara, Tainach Bevid Koyin. So the Oved of a Koyin has this claim, I don't want to lose the opportunity to eat Truma. But what about Eved Yisrael? The Eved of Yisrael, Mayikul Meimer, he's going to lose the Truma. He has no Truma to lose. Answers the Gemara, Amar Shmuel Barav Yitzchak, Neshem Sida Shifcha Kananis. The reason it's considered a chayv because he loses the opportunity to live with a Shifcha Kananis. Because an Eved Kanani can marry Shifcha Kananis, but he cannot, once he's freed, he has the din of a Yisrael, and of course a Yisrael may not marry Shifcha Kananis. But ask the Gemara Adrabba, we can make a counter argument. Harei Mata Bas Chayrim, he now can marry a regular Jewish woman. So he loses, he loses the right to marry Shifcha Kananis, but he gets the opportunity now to marry a regular Jew. Jewish woman, answers the Gemara, Avda Bafkeren Nichlei. He's much more satisfied marrying a Shifcha than a Jewish. Zilalei, because the Shifcha acts in the not tznius fashion as he does, Vashchichalei, Upar Utzalei, they're much more of the same. As we mentioned in the previous shir, the halacha is that an Eved who's hit by his owner and he loses one of the 24 Rosh Avarim, he goes free. So ask the Achrayim, if the Eved doesn't want to go free, so why are we rewarding the owner and punishing the Eved by him losing the opportunity to be an Eved because I did the wrong thing in hitting him? So he gave the teretz of the Kotzker. Yes, normally an Eved wants to remain an Eved, but he doesn't want to be an Eved by a person who's harming him. Another pshat that the Beis Yisroel says to this question, that as we're learning, an Eved Kanani is close to the Madrega of Yisroel. And by suffering, and by being hit, and losing one of the Rosh Avarim, that brings him over the top, that those Yisurim bring him to the connection that he should be able to be a Yisroel, and want to be a Yisroel. And therefore, that Eved, even though we're learning now, Ramea suggests that an Eved doesn't want to be free, this Eved wants to be free. I saw that the Gemara says here, Avda Bafkera Nichalei. How are we to understand Avda Bafkera Nichalei? The Gemara says, the Medrash says, why do we always read Parshas Bamidbar before Shavuos? Because a person, Yosem Atzmai Kemidbar, a person, Hefka Lakol, a person when he is in a stage that nothing is important to him, just his avodas Hashem, then he's able to be Eved to Kodesh, then he's able to be serve Hashem. When Klal Yisrael were in the category of avodim, and when they were like in the midbar, which the midbar is a place of hefker, then they can receive the Torah. Avda, you know who is considered an Eved of Hashem, a person who is a person with Hefkera Nichalei. He doesn't care about anything else. The only thing he cares about is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, I saw that what the Gemara is saying here, that an Avda, an Eved, wants to remain an Eved. So I saw from the Alter from Slobotkin, his Sefer Orat Sofen, that he says the way to understand this Gemara is that the first step in wanting to, in becoming Eved Hashem, and becoming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is wanting to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An Eved who wants to remain an Eved is never going to become a Eved Hashem. The first step in ever coming to any Madrega is to be ready to accept that I want to have that Madrega. And if I'm not up to that point, that I want to have that Madrega, I will never reach anything. Says the Mishnah, So again, we continue discussing this discussion where somebody asked somebody to deliver a get or shtar shechur to his wife, to his eved, and therefore says the Mishnah, "I'm a tunu gets elishti or shtar shechur is lavdi or meis." And before the get could have been delivered, before the shtar shechur was delivered, the person passed away. La yitnu lachamisa. The halacha is it cannot be delivered achamisa because, as we know, the halacha is ain get lachamisa. After one passes away, it's not possible anymore. After one passes away, it's not possible to get divorced. The Ktzais quotes a machlokes rishonim regarding somebody who appointed a shlich to deliver a get, and then the person became a shaita, and a shaita is obviously incapable of divorcing his wife. What will be the halacha? The Rambam holds that even if the get was delivered after the person became a shaita, it's still valid min haTorah, because the Rambam's opinion is that as long as the shliach was appointed was when the husband was not yet a shaita, he could act as a shliach of the husband, even though now he's, unfortunately, that is the status of the husband. The Torah disagrees, and he says that the get is invalid. The Torah is very sharp. The Torah says that the get is invalid min haTorah. He says that the husband has to be that he's not a shaita when the get is being delivered. But if this person, unfortunately, is a shaita when the get is being delivered, of course the get is not a valid get. So ask the Ktzais on the Rambam from our Mishnah. We just learned that if somebody sent a shliach with a get, and before the shliach arrived, the person passed away, then the shliach can't give a get. Because as we just learned in the Mishnah, we apply here the concept of ein get lachamisa. So why, by the person who became a shaita, would the halacha be different? So the Ktzais quotes Rashi from our Mishnah. He says that the reason a shliach can't deliver a get after the husband died, because after the husband dies, there's no marriage. As the Mishnah teaches us, the halacha is that a Jewish marriage is either terminated through a get, the subject of our Masechta, or through the death of the husband. So if the husband died, there's no marriage anymore to terminate. So the shliach can't give a get after the marriage is already terminated anyway. On the other hand, when the husband became a shaita, so that may be an issue, can he or can he not give a get? But it certainly, says the Ktzais, doesn't terminate the marriage. In fact, he says, one can make an argument that the marriage of a shaita is even stronger because a regular person could divorce his wife and a shaita can't divorce his wife. Since the marriage is still intact, so get would be effective. But, says the Mishnah, if somebody says, tnu money lish plani, if somebody says, give money, this amount of money to a certain individual, a mace, and he passes away before the money was actually given, the halacha is, yitnu lachamisa, the money should be delivered after the person who sent it, even though he passed away. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak, going to this last halacha that we just learned, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Mas Meshmei Derav, v'hu tzuborim u'menachem keren zavis. When is this halacha applicable? When the money is identifiable. Ask the Gemara, why is this a consideration? If we're going to speak about that the person who made this request is alive still, so kitzbur may have you. What's the difference if the money is identifiable? At the end of the day, the person to whom the money was sent did not make a kinyan in that money. And since he didn't make a kinyan in that money, the halacha should be that it's not, and then he died and there was not a kinyan yet, so after he dies, you can't take ownership of it. I asked the Rishonim, we're going to be learning in our shiurim now, the concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. So why over here is there no concept of that you should give it to this person, because it's clearly that was what this person wanted, that this person should get this money. So the Ramban says we're going to have this approach in the Mishnah is going to have to hold that we don't say mitzvah kaim divrei ames. Another explanation that I saw
is when is there a concept of mitzvah l'kayim devar meis? If a person leaves directives to his family or to whomever that he wants this, whatever he wanted should be fulfilled. But that's only because he asked somebody else to do it. When you ask somebody else to do it, or you left directive that it should be done by somebody, that's where we apply the concept of mitzvah l'kayim l'divrei emes. But here, he was doing it himself. On a person, on himself, there is no concept of mitzvah l'kayim l'divrei emes. Ella, we're going to have to explain the mitzvah. So again, the question is, why is tziburin going to make a difference? Ella, how are we going to explain the Mishnah? It's talking about the individual who was giving this directive was a shmir mira. Says the Gemara, so why would we need to have the money identifiable? My iri tziburim. Why do we have to have the money identifiable? Ki ain't tziburim nami hakaimelon divrei shchimera. That a person who makes who gives a directive when he's in the status of a shchimera, his situation is very tight. He's very ill. He's going to pass away. Doesn't need a kinyan. Ki ksuvim kumsurim dami. Answers the Gemara. Amar razvid l'oilam bebori. It was speaking about a healthy person. But if there's a healthy person, so even if the money is identifiable, why should that make a difference? We have to have a kinyan. And there was no kinyan. And since the Gemara, we're going to explain the Mishnah's following the opinion of Rav Huna Merav. And we learn now a new type of kinyan. Dom Rav Huna Merav, money libiyotcha, if somebody's holding on to something that belongs to me, to my money, and I say to him, you're holding on to my money, to Neil Pliny. Instead of giving it back to me, give it to that person. The halacha is, if that directive was given by Mamash Shloshtim, that all three of us are here, we're going to learn soon why, then we don't need any further kinyan. Rapapa explains that the Mishnah is actually going to be speaking about a shchimera. If that's the case, why do we need the money identifiable? We need a kinyan by Divrei Shchimera. Answers the Gemara. He's going to explain the Mishnah based on a different halacha that Rav taught us. Rav, if a shchimera says, give a certain amount of money to an individual from my estate, if he said a specific, he identified specific objects, specific money, Neisnin, because he's a shchimera, and as we just learned, the special halachas with a shchimera, that's why Neisnin. But if he said mana stam without identifying which mana he meant, ain't noisnin. Why? Because chashina shem mana cover. We have to be concerned that maybe what he meant was not a mana that's not here. And therefore, since it may not be, it's not, we can't know or identify what he meant, that's why it's not considered something that should be under the category of divrei shchimera. But says the Gemara, the halacha is, we need not be concerned about that. If a shchimera said, give money, we don't have to be concerned that he meant certain money, that maybe it's not the money that we're seeing. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Papa, my Tamalayim Krezvid, why doesn't he want to say he's speaking like about a Mamet Shloshtan? Answers the Gemara, Papa, Ki Amar Rav, when did Rav introduce this new type of a kinyan of Mamet Shloshtim, of all three of us together, says the Gemara, Loishna b'milva, Loishna b'kodim. According to him, it doesn't have to be that the money that I want to have transferred, that the Malva is giving directive to the Loiva, has to be here. Mamet Shloshtim, according to him, is always going to be effective. And therefore, we don't have a good answer for why we have to have them all together. We have to have Tziburim. So that's why he didn't want to explain the Mishnah that way. But ask the Gemara, Razvid, my Tamalayamakra, Papa, why didn't Razvid want to say to, like Rapapa, and as the Rishonim, as the Ram Shifa Pnei Yeshua say, that we could have said the reason Razvid doesn't agree with Rapapa is because he doesn't agree with this concept of Manazeh. But that's not true, because Rav is the one that does say it. Says the Gemara, because Rav Zvid holds, Lematuk Masnisen, it's difficult to explain that our Mishnah is referring to a Shchimera. Why? Says the Gemara, why are you bothered by saying our Mishnah speaking about a Shchimera? Midik Tani, we learned in the previous Mishnah,
We learned at the beginning of our Mishnah. Hayim etun getzel ishti, or shtash shechur zel abdi umeis, the halacha is lo yitnu lachemisa. It shouldn't be given after misa. What do we see from here? Why can't it be done after misa? As we explained when we learned the Mishnah, because he died. Ain't get lachemisa. Hamachayim. But if the person was still alive, nice, then we would give it. Now, what do we see from here? Tamadama tenu, because he specifically gave direction, give the get to my wife. Halayama tenu, but had he not used the word tenu, then we wouldn't give her a get. But the halacha is, by a shchimera, the halacha by a shchimera is, that afagav the halayama tenu, even if he didn't say the word tenu, the halacha is that noisnin. Because the reason, as we're going to see, is that a shchimera is in a bad mental situation. And because he's in a bad mental state, even though he didn't give such clear directive of saying tenu, the halacha considers it that he meant that. Where do we see that? That even though he wasn't so explicit that says that he said tenu, it's going to be considered that that's what he meant. The Tanan. There's a Mishnah we're going to learn later in the Masechta on Daf Samachay Amabez. Originally they said Ayotz B'Kola, somebody who was being taken out to be hung, or to be killed. Even though all he said was right, he didn't say give. The halacha is we give the get. Chazor Loimer, then they expanded, not only somebody who's about to be killed, we could be sure that he really meant to give the get, even though he didn't use the word tenu. But after Mefarish, even somebody who goes out to sea, or Yotze Bishyara is going out on a trip, and Rav Shimon Shazuri Omer, after Mesukin. So we see that a Mesukin doesn't have to say tenu. So our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is not talking about a Shchimera, because our Mishnah says that what is the case, or that he said tenu. But a Shchimera, we don't need to say tenu. Rav Shimon Shazuri spoke here about a Mesukin, but Rashi says that a Mesukin is a Shchimera. So what's the difference between a Shchimera and a Mesukin? So the Rambam explains, a Mesukin is somebody who became deathly ill suddenly, whereas a Shchimera is somebody who's very ill, but he did not become ill suddenly, it's been a process, says the Gemara. So what we learned now is, because of Rav Shimon Shazuri's understanding of the halacha of Shchimera, that's why the halacha is that the words of our Mishnah aren't consistent with the halacha of a Shchimera. Maskel Rav Ashi, or man name alone the Masnis Rav Shazuri he, what forces you to say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rav Shazuri? Dilma Rabbanan he, maybe the Mishnah is following the opinion of the Rabbanan, that by a Shchimera also the halacha is that you have to say tenu. And if that's the case, then we have no raya, then we could still say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of, is still able to be speaking about a Shchimera, but a Shchimera still has to say tenu, kisvu alone is inadequate. And as the Rishonim, as Tosfos explains, what is the machloikis? If you have to say tenu, or you don't have, if a Shchimera has to be more explicit? Because all of these halachas, explains Tosfos, are based on an umdana. The definition of an umdana is something that we assume. And the question is, how far in halacha can we rely on an umdana? And Rav Shimon Shazuri is much more lenient. And he says that we can rely on an umdana. And therefore, even though the Shchimera didn't say tenu, we can be confident that's what he meant. Whereas the Rabbanan hold, we can't just be so quick to rely on a. We can't be so quick to rely on an umdana. Says the Gemara Gufa Marav. So the Amar of Huna Marav, as we said, we are now going to discuss the halacha of this new type of kidgin called Mamon Shloshtan. So says the Gemara Gufa Amar of Huna Marav Manali Biyotcha. If we're standing all together, the loiva and the malva and a third party, and the Malva says to the loiva, "Money li biyotcha, you owe me money. Tanei leploini, give it. Don't give it back to me. Give it to someone else." The halacha is if we're all standing together, mamamet shloshna kama. says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Mistaba Milsa, where is the Milsa the Rav, where does Rav's halacha make sense? Bibikodin. Where you're holding, when I'm holding, where you're holding something of mine, and I give you direction. Ava b'malva, but if you owe me money, this wouldn't be effective. Because the reason the Gemara, the reason Rava is differentiating between a Bikadin and a Malva, explained the Rishonim, is that a Bikadin is something that's here now. Since it's here now, so giving orders about it makes sense. A Malva, Mevalaitzanitna. So if you owe me money, me giving you a direction about that money doesn't really make much sense because that money isn't currently here. Ava v'milva, but says Rava, this new kinyan that we spoke about, a mamash shloshtam, will not be applicable by a milva. But to which Rava says, v'lkim, I say a shvua, the Rav said it, afil b'milva. The Rav introduced this concept of mamash shloshtam, that it's effective even by a milva. Itmanami, and so says the Gemara, itmanami, if the Malva tells the Levi, you owe me money, to nail a plenty, and give it to somebody else, even though there's no kinyan, as long as all three of us are here, if it's b'mam shloshtan, if we're all here, kana. But tamamai, ask the Gemara, why is it effective? And particularly, why is it effective by a Malva, where the money that's being spoken about is not here? Amar Meimer, Nasa Kaimaloi, by the Chachamim treat Mam and Shloshtan, Nasa Kaima Shas Matmais, that when I borrow money from you, at the time that I borrow money from you, and I obviously obligate myself to repay, what I'm saying is, L'shabedin lo l'dach, I am obligating myself to pay back the money. Not just to pay you back the money, but chol de osi machmosach, anybody who comes because of you. And therefore, if you give me the directive to pay back, to pay that person, it's as if I owe that person, it's as if I owe the person that money all the time. The Shaar Mishpat points out a very important halacha. He says that mamet shloshtan is not effective if there's anything usr involved in this transaction. We could only assume, explains the Shaar Mishpat, that this is what I meant when I took this obligation upon myself. I only meant this in a situation where everything is halachically acceptable. But if it's not halachically acceptable, then not. The question that I saw that the Shas, the Tshuvas Dvar Yeshua discusses, let's say all three of us are not physically present, but we have a mamet shloshtan through a telephone. We're all communicating with each other on a conference call. Will that be considered a mamet shloshtan or not? And he says very clearly that mamet shloshtan is a special new kinyan that we're learning in our Gemara that Rav introduced, and it has to have the conditions that Rav introduced. That's why he says, the Shach says, the Mamet Shloshtan has to be done verbally. If it's not done verbally, it wouldn't be considered a Mamet Shloshtan. Similarly, he says that the Aloch is that if it's not done with all three of us physically present together, the new Kinyan that Chazal introduced the Mamet Shloshtan has rules to it. That's not the rule. I saw that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in the Sefer Cheshukei Chemer discusses the following Shaila. He says, what happens, he discusses a situation where there are three individuals, where Reuven had a lottery ticket, which he left for safekeeping by Shimon. And now, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are all together, and Reuven tells Shimon, give that lottery ticket to Levi. And at the end, it was a winning lottery ticket.
So the question is Levi considered the owner of that lottery ticket? Is it considered like a pekodin? And the pekodin is something that the Gemara actually, Rava said is easier to understand, the mamet shloshen should be effective. So here he actually gave him the lottery ticket. But Taisvis, the very maskal tenu, says that we only say mamet shloshen on something on money, on something that has intrinsic value. The question is that he discusses, is a lottery ticket considered something of intrinsic value? So he says, there's a famous Chassam Sofer and Chazon Ish that both say that paper money is still considered money, even though what makes it valuable, it's only because there's a guarantee of the government that stands behind this money, that's still considered that it gives it value. But that, because those, as the Chazon Ish explained, when we speak about money, money has value. A dollar bill is worth a dollar. A $100 bill is worth $100. But a lottery ticket is not intrinsically money. And the question really comes up, is there a market for selling lottery tickets? Because what makes money valuable? The fact that it could be used to buy things. So if a lottery ticket has a value, has a dollar value, it maybe would be considered like money, and mamet shloshna would be effective. On the other hand, an argument can be made that you can't compare a lottery ticket to a dollar bill. And therefore, he's not quite sure how to treat this case if it was transferred with a mamet shloshna.